Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. My mother had a pen pal by the name of Agnes. Mom was 96, and Agnes was 99 at the time. Agnes liked the stories I wrote for a tiny Minnesota newspaper called The Houston Banner. And Mom liked the idea that I had a fan who was older than she was. I found it utterly charming that these ladies had lived such long, full lives and still had the energy to start a correspondence. So I made sure that each got the other's address, one in the state of Washington and the other in New Jersey. Cross-country mail commenced, handwritten in blue and blue-black ink, respectively, sealed and stamped as real mail always was back in the day. Agnes was born in rural Minnesota in 1913. Her parents came over from Sweden in 1895 and built up a farm that they called Kassendal, where they began a very large family. Agnes was the 12th of 13 children. Well, it's no wonder she was shy, painfully so. When she was 5 years old, she and her brothers set off for school, a 3-mile walk. But on this particular day, early in the spring, they cut across the still-frozen Root River, something they were strictly forbidden to do if the crossing was unsafe. She went through the ice and was pulled out. Finishing the walk to school wet and freezing, there was no way she was going home to face the wrath of her parents. So her teacher let Agnes sit by the wood stove out in the hall until she was dry. Kids will always be kids, I guess. Thank goodness, good teachers will always be good teachers. My mother was a little girl in rural Oklahoma during some of the hardest days of the Great Depression. Her father died a cruel, slow death 5 years after a stroke disabled him. The family had to split up for a while because there was little food and less money. Mom and her sister spent the better part of a year living in a cleaned-out chicken coop on her uncle's farm. It was a tough way to live, but it was way better than the alternatives, the poorhouse or the orphanage. I like to think about the forces and the fortunes that took two little girls and sent them from their quiet country ways to big city lives on opposite coasts. Now, to be sure, there were men involved. Agnes would be the first to tell you that it was her husband who talked and laughed her out of her shyness. Throughout their lives together, she became the most gregarious hostess of all the best socials. Mom married a smart aleck from the west side of Manhattan, and they became the go-to couple in our neighborhood in Queens, the folks you could count on if you needed a hand, a place to stay, a few bucks in a pinch, whatever they could do for you. All the kids in the neighborhood knew where to go. They liked hanging out with my dad because he was every bit as full of wonder as they were. I bowed out of the ladies' correspondence feeling great that I had gotten them together in the first place. I have often wondered what they talked about. Was it mundane, the pains and indignities of old age, or was it sublime, shared experiences of the wonders they had seen in their lives? Did they view their century as one of wars and pandemics, of maniacs ruining vast landscapes? Or did they compare notes on the progress of medicine and machines and technology? I wonder. But of course I never asked. My mother taught me not to pry. I hadn't thought about the ladies for quite some time. And then one day, as I was setting the kindling in the wood stove, I saw, purely by chance, a photo of Agnes Johnson Koch atop a long and loving obituary in the Houston Banner. My mother's pen pal had passed away the week before at the age of 102. Two great women who had spent a combined 200 years on the planet, pen pals forever.